This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark, sitting in today for Cindy Canty. Quote, the economy's roaring. Growth is surging. Unemployment is near record lows. And President Donald Trump is claiming all the credit. Whatever. That's what Detroit News Daniel Howes writes in his latest column. Dan, first of all, you're laughing at your own words.
Well, I'm only laughing because I've already got emails this morning about, well, who do you think deserves credit for it? Not Obama. And as I pointed out to the person, look, the expansion and the recovery started in 2009. Mm-hmm. Anybody who owns any stock in their 401k or 403b or outright knows that the market bottomed out in about, I think, March of 2009, has been climbing pretty much ever since. Now, it is also true to the Trump people out there that the economy's growth rate has accelerated during Trump's term, and particularly in the last year. And the unemployment rate is reaching lows. We heard yesterday from one of the governors of the Fed, approaching numbers we haven't seen since the 1960s.
Mm-hmm. And I am an optimist, but I think there are plenty of folks going, this is too good to be true, waiting for a bubble. And one of the things that you write about is that trade is a source of uncertainty right now.
Yeah, and it was very interesting. I mean, I think for those of us that are covering business and kind of following the auto industry, this is a daily kind of story right now. Mm-hmm. When you have a company like Ford that comes out and says, we're not going to be building cars in the and selling cars in the United States anymore, except for the Mustang. Oh, but we're going to put this, we're going to take this Focus Active that has been the crossover vehicle that's been launched already in Europe, build it in China and bring it back in the United States. And they make a decision to stop that, mm-hmm. and say, we're not going to do it because it's not going to be profitable. That becomes real, I think, to people. It becomes real when General Motors asks for an exemption for its Buick Envision SUV because it's built in China as well, and I would be willing to bet you they're not going to get that exemption.
So explain for me then, when you're talking about these kind of big picture auto industry issues right now because of the economy, like how does that affect me? Like I know this sounds silly, but like make me care that this is all happening right now.
Well, I think ultimately it will affect you in terms of prices. I think you're going to start to see, and it's anecdotal right now, but you're going to start to see businesses that are struggling. There are suppliers that are sourcing product in China or they're sourcing metals that they then turn into parts. The prices of those goods are affected by the tariffs. Yeah, I mean, this economy, I mean, the argument for the people who support tariffs is that the economy is robust enough and large enough that it can absorb a lot of this stuff. And to some extent, it probably can. Mm-hmm. But I think in the case of the autos, you ask, okay, if these companies become less profitable and you work for one of them in a plant somewhere and they make less money in the United States, that means your profit sharing checks, which have been hitting record levels, are going to go down next year and the year after that. That's what that means. It means that your company is less profitable. When your company is less profitable, it invests less. I think that's the other question. Do they defer investments? You have less profits. Do you hire less?
Right.
Those are all kind of intangibles. When you start to put that thing in the soup, it becomes an issue. I don't think there's any question but what this trade war is going to be or is a headwind on the economy. The question is, how stiff of a headwind is it?
And then, of course, you write about your concerns about just sort of the intertwiningness of tariffs and politics and how they can't be unentwined at this point. They can't be broken apart, it feels like, in some ways.
No, and I think what President Trump is doing is politicizing the economy in so many ways. He's complained.
Well, it is the economy, stupid.
Yes, exactly. But I mean, he's complained publicly about decisions that the Fed is taking. I mean, people need to be reminded, we've had almost 10 years of free money. Interest rates were at zero or close to it. And so the Fed is starting to raise interest rates because its job is price stability and to maximize employment. That's its job. And it's supposed to be independent and it's supposed to make call balls and strikes. And the president doesn't seem to like that when all of a sudden he's doing what he calls a lot of the work on the economy and the Fed turns around and raises rates. So you have a Fed governor who comes in to talk at the Detroit Economic Club this week, and she doesn't want to wade into these political things. Mm-hmm. And I can understand why, because if you wade into these political things, you've got a president who wields social media like an electronic scythe. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll go after anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it again this morning from what I have read already.
Daniel Howes, columnist at the Detroit News. He joins us most Thursdays on Stateside. Dan, thanks so much.
Thank you.